Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Cooch's Cosmic Cafe. You are listening to the PsychicTalk.net radio network. Your host for today's show is Cooch, and she will be having a guest on. And we are having a little teeny tiny bit of technical difficulty right at the moment here, but we are going to try and get the show going any second now. So bear with me, folks. Don't run away. Don't touch that dial. Hopefully we will have things going in just a quick moment. Momentarily, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, but that is the wonder and the beauty of live radio. And I think here she is now, our illustrious host, Cooch Daniels. How was that?
Mary, you have to forgive me. You have to believe my computer has just gone totally ballistic. Like, I had somebody working on my computer today because my printer is down and they were trying to fix it. And everything wasn't working, and I'm like stressing to get here, but I'm here, and should
Yay.
I do the introduction?
Yes, because I was winging it. You go for it.
Okay, well, hello everyone who's out there. Now, this is my introduction that's a little late, and I'm sure Mary did a great job, but sending you love, light, and magical vibrations from the Tarot Guild and Psychic Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning into Cooch's Cosmic Cafe with our special guest today, Mary Brown, who is also producing the show. I'm supposed to be the host, although I think Mary's probably even being the host as well as the producer. But our focus is on tarot and divination and talking about metaphysical things to stir up a tasty soul brew of esoteria, especially for you. I'm on the radio doing my show one time a month and just trying to connect with people and find out what's hot and jumping in your world and stay abreast of how to have some really good cosmic coffee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Cooch. I love that. That sounds delicious. Some cosmic coffee and some esoteric brew. Sounds
I'm
like
really
a
ready
mystical
for some.
Coffee
I'm like,
cup.
Where's my coffee? Oh, cosmic coffee with, I'll take a sprinkle of stars and a few galaxies could, you know, with along with the sugar maybe. And some amrita for my milk. Amrit is like the nectar of the gods. I'll take some amrit with some starry constellations in my cosmic coffee.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, what are you up to, Mary? I am totally excited to be able to spend quality time with you. So what's up in your world?
What is up in my world? I'll tell you, my world has been, you know, it's funny. I feel like, it was turned upside down, and then I turned it right side up again. So, you know, my world's been shaky. But in a really, really good way. You know, I don't know if you've done this. I know a lot of people out there do it, and then there's people that are like, why would you do that? But I I went ahead and had a DNA test, you know.
Wow. Another one.
That did it. Yeah, that I'm another one. I joined the flock. And it blew my mind. And it's so funny because I was talking to Dax last week on the Psychic Saturday show, and we did an episode about, you know, how are those New Year's resolutions going for you? You know, because, you know, by February, you know, some of us, you know, make those resolutions tend to like be off track already. And it was funny because I was thinking about that, and I'm like, wow, you know, I made the resolution. I was like ahead of it. I was doing good. I was going to make more YouTube videos and just go, go, go. And I was doing all of that. And then I got my DNA results back and, like, you know, took a month of, like, just sort of spinning around. So it threw me totally off track.
So what was the most insightful jolt to your awareness that threw everything off track?
It was like a series of shockwaves. The first one was finding out I was 53% Irish. I had no idea. It's weird. Like, I never knew my biological father, you know, and there's this, you know, big, big, long, bizarre story. But and all this time, I didn't even know how to spell his last name. I didn't know anything about him. And I found out everything that could be found out, basically, after all these years. And so all of that was just super shocking. And I, you know, connected with all these cousins. The probably biggest jolt ever was finding out I had siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's exciting. And there, you know, it's just I connected with my brother. You know, it's so funny because it's like all of that, you know, and it is kind of like the little nuts and bolts of it. You find out all these questions you've had all your life, you know, and everything, but it was such a healing experience to find out everything. And what's so weird, and, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience ever, but, you know, all this esoteric stuff, all the mystical things that we do, you know, I think so much of it, and tarot included, so much of it is part of our own healing journey. And we work and we know, okay, well, we could work on this part, or we could work on that part, or get better at this, or heal that. And we work on all of that, and sometimes we think we've covered it all. Like, we feel like, okay, I'm in a pretty good shape now, and I'm pretty good. But what I didn't realize was that there was, like, this whole little thin layer, you know, like a little crust of, you know, stuff that was all connected to my father and that whole thing. And I didn't even know that I was carrying that weight around me. So going on this journey, finding out everything, it's like it finally, it's the lightest I've ever felt in my life. So it's really weird.
Well, what's coming up for me is that now instead of thinking of you as Mary, I'm going to be thinking of you as Morgana.
Right? I'm Irish.
I know. It's like,
I don't even know how to be Irish.
She's one of my favorite goddesses.
That is so kind. I mean, yeah, there's a whole, you know, pantheon, and it's so funny because I had been, you know, for the longest time, I've been doing shamanic journeying, and I've been, you know, really interested in different forms of shamanism. And, you know, I think John Matthews and Caitlin Matthews both have been trying to, you know, recreate what the Celtic shamanism would be. And I kind of tiptoed around that, and, you know, for years, because I'm like, you know, but I'm not even like Celtic at all, you know. And it's like, whoa, yeah, I am.
You know, maybe all those things that you've been tiptoeing around are actually things that are deep inside you, and instead of looking at outside resources to help you find that path. It's an inner path. It's like, oh, all of a sudden you found the door is there. There's a whole wealth of possibilities. Because if it's in your DNA, that means it's like in your labyrinth of your subconscious, you have all of that information stored.
Isn't that wild?
I know. So you don't really need outside resources. You just need to own it.
Well, you know, and that's so invaluable that you say that to me, because I kind of feel like, you know, that's the thing is like, you know, because I have felt for a really long time a real strong connection, especially to fairies, right? And it sounds, you know, funny to some people, but you know, I do animal rights. Yeah, exactly. You know, so yeah, fairies, sprites. You know, however we you know, connect to that other, you know, mystical realm, basically. And you know, I really felt like they really helped me with, like, you know, animals I would rescue and things like that.
Well,
and
they're probably thinking the same about you.
Isn't aww?
You know, you're thinking that they're helping you, and they're thinking that you're helping them.
That would be great, you know, to
because
have that
you're entwined and you're weaving in and out of each other's energy fields, and it's especially anything that's like under the surface or on a subconscious, you know, like you're sensing or you're intuiting, or you know, it's like a feeling energy. But what's the other side feeling? You know what you're feeling, but think about what the other side of what you're perceiving intuitively. What are they feeling? You know, are they being fed by what you're holding in your space, and
that
how you're
so
calling
wild.
Them to you?
Yeah, that is so
it's
wild.
Very exciting.
And I love that you say that, because it's like I don't think I spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, the other point of view like that. I don't think I, you know, consider that.
When we create altars and we're putting our intentions and our prayers on our altars, we're sending our communication, our soul communications out into the auric field or the atmosphere, or to the celestial realms, or, you know, wherever we're sending it. But the receiver of that energy, it's like what's happening to them, you know, because we don't know. But then you get some kind of a feedback, or you get something that's like, wow, I got something. But it's usually because there's some kind of connection, meaning you're being embraced by them feeling embraced, and there's you know, it goes back and forth. Morgana, as of now, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to deal with this, but I'm calling you Morgana. I've always wanted to know Morgana, and you know, when I listen to you on your shows, and I'm so attracted to your stories and what you talk about, and you know, I'm really attracted to your heart, because that's what I feel in you, is that you have like a genuine, loving heart. And I just feel, you know, that's how I connect and feel your energy. It's not so much about your list of credentials as much as how I feel your emotional gift and your intuitive understanding. And that's like, when I hear you, it's something that's, you know, it's not like book learning. It's not like something that another author or some author could teach you. It's something that comes from some deep place in you. And now I'm finally getting it.
You know, I'll tell you, that's so funny, because it's like that heart connection. You know, that's how I think of you too, you know, because it's like, you wrote a book on love, right? You know, so of course you've got this heart thing going on.
Plug time. I wrote the Throw D'Amore, a book on love. It's very juicy, and a lot of people keep it on their bedstands at night to help them figure out their emotional stuff. But that was my plug. Sorry, Mary. You brought it up.
But, yeah, but, you know, because that, and you're so knowledgeable in a way that I feel like when I listen to your shows, I feel like, you know, you are kind of like, you know, it's like I get this image in my head sometimes, you know, and with you, I get this image of like, there's this like, you know, somebody will call in and they've got, you know, the problems and whatever they want to ask you for help with. And it's like I get this image of like this vortex, this beautiful, brightly colored vortex. And it's like you reach right through with your heart and you find like the authentic answer to gift to them. And I think it's
well,
such a beautiful talent.
Well, that's an awfully tall order. And, you know, my sense is for you to even think that way because we project on other people how we are.
Oh, yeah.
So my sense is you're just talking about yourself. Because that's how you are, you know. That's how I see you. So I'm like, Mutual Admiration Society. But, Mary, that's how I really kind of see you. So maybe that's why we're sitting here talking to one another, because we kind of, like, see that in one another. And, you know, it's kind of like we're mirrors to, like, oh, my God, you've got this vortex that's just, like, pulls in the maternal cosmic healing force, and, you know, we reach into it and try to help people. And, you know, I think we're both reaching into the same vortex.
Yeah. I've always loved that word, simpatico, you know.
Yeah. That's nice one. It makes me feel like I want to be dancing, though.
Yeah, right? Let's do the simpatico.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, simpatico.
Uh-huh. Get out your tap shoes. It's the time for the flamenco simpatico. I mean, I love flamenco, and I love tap, so that was a compliment, but...
I'm crazy about flamenco. We have a couple callers.
You're running the board. Mary's in control. I mean, Morgana's in control. I'm sorry. Here, I gotta
Morgana,
get this right.
Yeah. You know,
Morgana's
like
in control. So I'm leaving it in your hands.
You know, that's so empowering. You know, that Morgana energy. Oof. I don't even know very much about her, and I already feel like this, like, lift. I love that. It's like, keep calling me that. Nothing's happening.
Perhaps in, you know, some other lifetime we were, you know, running through the misty moors, and, you know, we recognize that Morgana has blessed you and that she lives inside you, and we're not forgetting her. And, you know, calling her is like invoking her energy, and she is a Celtic goddess that is very wise and healing. And, you know, I can certainly put that overlay on Mary Brown.
Aw, thank you. Okay, well, how about we take – there's one caller that's been kind of waiting since, like, the beginning of the show. I think she's
what a sweetheart that you're so
–
you have so much patience and you'd want to wait this long.
So why don't we bring her on? Her name is Susan, and she's calling from Pennsylvania. Let's see,
wow.
Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Terrific.
Mary, how are you doing?
Pretty
I'm doing
good.
Great.
Thank
how
you
are you doing?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Okay, tell me your name one more time.
Susan.
Susan, okay. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I was wondering where my relationship was going. Could you help me with that?
Well, we can pick cards. You have your cards, Mary?
Oh, yeah, I have some cards. Do you have some cards, too?
I have some cards right in front of me. I am reaching for one right now. Let's see which one shows up. Okay, I have the Nine of Cups is what came up. And that is kind of a transformative emotional card, meaning you're either learning something new to bring something new into your relationship, or you're trying to like move through something together and let go of things that aren't working. If there's some kind of a transformation, evolution to being able to ask more for what you need so that the relationship can smooth out a little bit. But Nine of Cups is like don't think about where it's going. Try to get in touch with how you can be open to creating better communication so that you can kind of direct where it's going and try to direct it towards happiness instead of overanalyzing and being critical of stuff. Does that make any sense?
Yes, but you're a woman, so I'm a woman, so this is why it's critical. Because he works on houses and stuff like that, you know. And he goes to Home Depot and he picks up a stray that needs her toilet fixed, and he goes and helps them, even not knowing them. To me, I'm a little worried because you go into somebody's home that you don't know, things can arise nowadays.
Have you talked to him about your concerns?
Yes, I told him about my concerns, but he was working on her house, so I'll just wait till he gets home. But he does this all the time. I mean, he has a good heart. He'll do anything for anybody, but I just feel like you going into a strange woman's house, even though there's kids and an old lady there, and that woman can turn around and say anything.
So you're concerned about his safety in a sense, too?
Yes, definitely I'm concerned about his safety. Like, he just don't think nothing can happen to me. You turn the TV on, there's a lot of crazy things that are happening nowadays.
Yeah.
My Mary, what card did you pull, Mary?
Interesting. I pulled a couple cards from the Oracle. Well, I didn't even pull them. They jumped out of my little Love Notes Oracle deck that I have here, and it mm-hmm. and the cards that are interesting. So the first one that comes up is talking about confiding in him. So I wonder if maybe you approach this topic with him as if you're confiding in him what your concerns are, because he's your partner and you love mm-hmm. him and you're worried about him. And so he maybe understands that it's not just because it, you know, things happen in the world, for sure. For sure things happen. Things mm-hmm. happen, things don't happen, we can't predict it, you know, it's unpredictable. But it's saying, like, confide in him and then, like, rebalance the situation. So by rebalancing, I think what it's talking about is, like, okay, so then we need to confide it to, because then you've done your part in a sense as his partner. You know, you've made him mm-hmm. aware that, you know, concerns that you have are coming from love, and that you're also giving him credit for his really good heart that he has. And then let's rebalance a little bit and say, okay, but we're not dealing with what if this happens or what could happen. Let's deal with just what's happening right now. And there we find this sense of, like, balance and more, it can be empowering, because there's this thing about, you know, being empowered by our love rather than it putting us into fear, because a lot of times it's so hard not to be fearful about the people that we love and things that could happen to them, you know. But
how long have you been in your relationship, and are you married?
No, we're not married. We've been in the relationship, it'll be 4 years this May.
Because if I put myself in your situation or in a similar situation, and mm-hmm. I have been in a similar situation, so if I look at it from a personal place, I own this because this is my thing. I've got like a double concern. One is, what if somebody pulls a knife or, you know, shoots my partner while he's fixing the toilet? And the other one is like, oh my God, my true love is going off with some strange woman into her home, and what's going on there? And feeling insecure about my partner going off with someone who I don't know into their private space, which creates anxiety. I have to confront my jealousy or my insecurities about what's my husband doing following another woman home, even if there's like nothing going on and there's really good intentions. So I think, you know, like looking at the human condition, which is that we don't have control over anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We can barely control our own self and our own motives, let alone controlling another person. But, you know, it's really a loaded situation because you are right. You don't know what can happen in someone else's houses. I mean, firefighters go into strangers' houses and, you know, they get killed. And, you know, your husband's or your boyfriend is not, you know, I mean, he's just going in to try to help somebody. I mean, you don't know what's going on in the other person's mind. And my sense is talking to him about the reality of, you know, there's like a lot of crazy people out there, and how is he protecting himself? Because just because you're good-hearted and you want to help someone doesn't mean that they're not going to bite your hand off. So I'd really try to cover that with him on a really sincere level. But I would, you know, I'd also bring up that, you know, in your own emotional feelings, that it feels a little out of balance. Mary was talking about balance, but in my personal relating to this in my own personal past, it creates imbalance for me thinking that, you know, okay, I can't control what my partner does, but it really is kind of it hits my nerve that you're going into a strange woman's house, into her private space, and you know, I don't feel comfortable with that, because there's a level of a reality of that. And I mean, I don't know what you want to say to him, but you know, you can't ignore an elephant when it's stepping on your carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an elephant in this room,
well, I feel like,
and you know, we got to figure out how to, like, you know, make sure it doesn't just, you know,
right,
step on the coffee table and, you know, knock a wall out or something. I mean, you can't just ignore things and think they're going
to
go away. But if this is nature,
like,
if his nature is to go, like, you know, follow strange people home and take care of them, it's not that you can control that, but you might really want to try to dialogue about all the different concerns, or, you know, in a non-nagging way, since men hate to be nagged, or our partners hate to be nagged. But, you know, talk about your feelings and see if he can try to in some way give you a stronger sense of security and a better understanding of, you know, how he can take care of you, because when he's doing that, he's not taking care of you. So if he's a caretaker, how can he take better care of you? Yeah.
Right. Because I know if I was in Home Depot and a guy walked up and asked me, can I go fix his toilet, if I told him I followed a man home and checked his toilet,
of course we know you'd be doing something else.
Yeah. Right. Automatically, he's going to say, what are you doing at this man's house?
Exactly.
You don't even know.
Exactly.
But
that's for sure.
It's like we're being jealous, and it's not being jealous. It's being very concerned, because like I told him, I said, is she going to pay you? He goes, you better pay me, I'll call the cops. I'm like, you didn't even discuss a payment with her?
Well,
yeah.
He's a really good guy on one level, but, you know, if he can realize that he's got to be good to you to help the relationship have greater harmony and to help you have greater security, you know, then, you know, like, that's something that he can think about maybe, is like, you know, it's not making you feel good, and if you're not feeling good, you're not going to cook him a good meal. You know, you're going to, like, you know, burn his dog food or whatever you're cooking for him, because it's kind of like, you know, women have a way of, like,
of getting
you just screwed me over and stepped on my foot. Let me I'm sorry. Yeah. You can tell I have a little mean streak in me.
No, but it's true. Like, I am very upset. I'm like, you know, and even when he told me, he goes, well, I just want to let you know. And I'm like, well, you're going to go do the job anyway. So what's the sense in even calling me and telling me? Because he's supposed to be at another house fixing the house up. But he went in to get the toilet. This woman asked for his help, and then it went from the toilet to the sockets because she had an inspector come to her house tomorrow. And I don't know. It just sounds so weird to me, you know?
Well, there's two different levels. One is it's a matter of trusting him, and the other is it's like important for you to communicate that there. It feels really weird, and I don't know if your partner is licensed, but licensed contractors and things, they've got to have all the paperwork to be insured and, you know, to create a paper trail for finances and all that stuff. So it sounds like he's maybe nicer than he should be because he could get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, if you love someone, you don't want them to get into trouble. So there's all kind of different points of view in relating to this situation. And I would just, you know, you got to be loving when you talk about this kind of stuff so that your partners don't think you're, you know, being just cranky and grumpy because they have their freedom. And we all want our freedom. So it's, you know, it's a very kind of touchy situation, but it really needs to be addressed. And I think addressing it on different fronts is really important because if you want your relationship to have the balance that Mary's talking about, it's like, how do you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes talking about things, you know, from a more practical standpoint, like with Cooch is saying about, you know, the licensing, and you could get in trouble if you're doing like unlicensed work, or, you know, sometimes men, you know, they switch gears when they look at the practical side of things, and they don't think like, okay, wait a minute, she's making sense now. You know, they don't think it's just like personal, and we don't want, you know, another cat in the hen house or whatever that metaphor is. I don't know. You know, so maybe
another
like
rooster.
Yeah, another rooster. Thank you. I was like, what it goes in the hen house? You know, I think that, you know, maybe that two feelings and caring for the relationship plus also your concern about him, you know, getting in some trouble he doesn't need to get into.
I mean, I know people
helpful.
In Pennsylvania who've been thrown in jail for going into the wrong person's house at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because in California, where I am, laws are different than Pennsylvania, but there's like, you know, you can go into the wrong house at the wrong time, and there can be consequences that you just don't think about because you're too innocent.
Meaning she could cry rape. You
know?
Hey, absolutely. It can happen. You know.
Well, I wish you the best, and I, you know, it's not a situation that's going to go away, and you don't want him to go away, so you have to figure out how to work with it to try to make it a little better every day, or the communication a little more open, so that it's not that you're going into like really heavy fear over him and trying to control him, but trying to see how this can evolve into a better situation. And I don't think it's just going to be like a lightning bolt one instant. I think it's something that you and he are going to have to talk about over time to try to figure out how to create a better balance.
Right.
But it can happen. And Nine of Cups is like it's a transformation card. You know, like it's time for something, a new door to open or possibilities to evolve and learn and grow so that you can take a higher step towards making things work better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm optimistic for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a
Thanks
great one.
Time.
You too, honey. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. Susan had some stuff going on, but I can totally relate.
Yeah, you know, that's I think a lot of us can really relate to that. Hey, it's the bottom of the hour. What's coming up this week on Psychic Talk Radio? Should we let everybody know?
Please, that's something you're going to be really good at. I can see that, Morgana.
Yes, I am Morgana. Well, you know, it's been exciting. You know, so Thursday, tomorrow, Stephanie Mayo, Stephanie's Guided Tarot, she's going to have her show on. She's inviting people to call in with whatever is on their mind. She is doing open lines and mini readings. And then after that, it gets really more exciting because so that's Thursday. And then it's so funny. I'm looking at our upcoming shows here, and we have a lot of shows coming up. As I'm sure most of us are aware, we have shows like 7 days a week. And let me just find this incredible list I just had in front of me a little while ago, talking about all of these wonderful things. And it's so funny that...
You lost the list?
I did lose the list. That's what's so amazing. I just had it right in front of me a second ago. And then, you know, it's like the day of like weird technical strangeness.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Have you noticed?
I agree.
It's so funny. But let's see. I don't know what is going on with I'm looking on my Kindle. It's funny how, you know, regardless of what device we're using, they can all go a little haywire. But, you know, Friday will be something really interesting as well. And I seriously had this list in front of me, and I don't know exactly where it went here. But tune in. You know, everybody can always go to the psychictalk.net radio page. And if you click on upcoming shows, this whole rundown, but for some reason, it's not doing that for me right now. And I don't know why that is.
I do.
I suspect.
Because you have moved from being the conscientious, responsible Mary Brown into becoming Morgana, who is the goddess of, she was an apprentice of Merlin, and she created magic that changed the fate of the knights on the round table. So she's come into your consciousness, and now there are things that are just magical all around you, and you're supposed to use this moment to talk about what's most magical to you and how you just feel it in the moment and not worry about organizational lists.
Apparently, right? That must be what it is, because the whole organizational thing is just totally gone away. So all you have to do, you lovely listeners out there, is just go to the psychictalk.net upcoming shows, click on there. It'll tell you all about it. I know Dax and I are doing a show on Saturday, the Psychic Saturday show, talking about something really cool. And I forget what that is, too. I think we're talking about reality. Like, is there just one reality or are there more? So that'll be fun. And then, you know, there's all kinds of good stuff. Go to psychictalk.net/upcoming shows and you will find out all about it. So
great advice.
We do have this is the most
you
fun
did
show
it.
Ever.
You did it.
We do have another caller who has been holding on the line the longest. Should we venture out there and see who it is?
Oh. I'm game if you are.
I am too. This is area code 805. Area code 805, caller, are you there?
Oh, hi, this is Donna. How are you?
Good. Donna, where are you calling from?
I'm California, Santa Barbara.
Ah.
Is it warm down there?
No, it's a little overcast, and we've had a lot of rain, and we're getting it again. So it's pretty cold. So just stay in a lot.
That changes emotional energy right there, being indoors in cloudy, rainy weather.
Yeah.
People become more inward and less externally extroverted.
Yeah.
How you doing? What's your question?
My question, about 6 months ago, I can hear my mother, who's on the other side, and I got a message with her voice in my head that said, "You're going to be rewarded." And then a week and a half ago, I was sitting in my daily meditation, which I do for 30 minutes every morning, and I heard, "It's coming soon." And then 2 days ago, I was just sitting in the quiet. I closed my eyes and just relaxed, and I heard it again. It came in a very lovingly whisper, and so I wanted to know what you were feeling about this, please.
Does this happen mainly when you're in meditation or just...
Well, no, the second time it didn't. It just happened when I just closed my eyes and just relaxed for a couple minutes. Then I got the same message.
And is it a voice in your head or is it like a voice like you're hearing Mary talking?
No. The one with my mother on the other side was her voice in my head. But the other one was like, it came in very lovingly. It just filled me up with love when it said it's coming soon. And then again, it came in like a whisper. So those came in very lovingly and very gentle-like, the last two.
Well, we could pull a card or we could just do an intuitive reading on it. Mary, which would
okay.
you want to do?
You know, either way works for me. I kind of feel like pulling a card on it.
Okay, I'll
what
pull one
think?
If you pull one.
Okay. And we just kind of want to know
how long
what
has your mother
about?
Been?
She's been gone about 32 years.
32 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just pulled the sun card for you. Mary, what are you pulling?
You know, I just pulled a card from my mystical shaman oracle, and I pulled the rainbow.
Oh,
and
nice.
Isn't that wild? It's like this. To me, both of those cards are like celestial, you know, and that connects to the other side for me. The rainbow was especially kind of the message of that is interesting because it does talk about like we see rainbows at the end of the storm, you know, and it kind of is like it's our blessing, it's our reward, it's our gift. You know, and you also think of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I'm thinking about that since I'm all Irish and stuff now. You know, but I think that's interesting. So your mother saying something to the effect of you are going to be rewarded, I feel like the rainbow is kind of confirming that idea of a reward, but it seems to have to do with the reward after we struggle with something. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, like if you've gone through a lot and maybe it's your mom coming through to say, hey, you know, it wasn't all for nothing.
Yeah, well, my whole life has been pretty hard.
Pooch,
yeah.
What are you getting?
Yeah. I'm still trying to feel it out intuitively and... Had you ever gotten messages from your mother previously?
Yes.
So you've been in communication with her regularly or sporadically since she's passed?
Yeah, and I also pick up from my nephew, and I see them. Which, I'm kind of a medium in my own way, yeah.
That would be a medium.
Yeah.
That's what mediums do.
That's awesome.
Because you've been getting messages ongoing, Are they usually directing you in some way or giving you information that you can use to benefit your life?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, if that's the pattern, then my sense is there's a continuation, especially, I mean, mother's love is so compassionate. Mothers are about nurturing compassion, unconditional love, helping their children. I would just keep feeling the love that's coming through that and don't be overly attached that you're going to be rewarded and have some kind of expectation. It's more to your advantage to just be open-minded and let things unfold. And if something does come and you get to that treasure chest at the end of the rainbow, then hallelujah, how great is that? And then I'll send you my address so you can send me some gold. But I mean, everybody will be asking, where's the gold? But at the same time, because you're reaching out to try to get more clarity about what's going on. And looking at the history of communication and you being a medium, I would try to ask for more information.
Okay, I could do that, yeah.
Because, I mean, I can try to get information, but I keep getting, like, this kind of turquoise blue light over you. And so my sense, there's, like, some kind of an emotional something where you're releasing some kind of an emotional, maybe the work that you've been doing is releasing some kind of an emotional struggle, or that there's some kind of a release that's going to enable you to be maybe a little more at peace. But I would really go with trying to just, like, ask for more guidance or more insight into what kind of reward and what is the most beneficial way that you can experience it or be open to it. So, you know, ask for a little more guidance on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Because usually, you know, they come in, the messages, but they're very short. They don't elaborate on anything. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, a couple words here and there.
Well, you know, you can ask for an arrow pointing in a certain direction or, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a lengthy dialogue, but, I mean, you know, you're saying they're short, but over 32 years, if you've gotten messages that are short and you add them all up, you're really gifted that you're getting what you're getting. That's phenomenal.
Well, I had two dreams with my mother, too, where we're celebrating with such joy and happiness. It was unbelievable, and it was on two different nights that I had these dreams. Oh, my gosh. It was just, I don't think I experienced so much joy before. It was wonderful.
That could be part of the reward, just that alone.
Yeah, what a gift. Yeah.
I mean, the card I pulled was the sun, which is very positive, celebratory, you know, things are good.
Yeah.
You're not getting sun in Santa Barbara, but Santa Barbara is known for sunny weather, so my sense is there's more sun on the horizon.
Yeah, it'll come soon. Yeah, it's 60, I think, the degrees, 60 degrees.
Well, congratulations for having the ability to tune into the other side, and good luck with the rewards that's coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was so nice talking to both of you.
You too.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wow, how cool is that?
That's pretty outrageous because I don't meet a lot of people that are gifted with being able to communicate with people they love on the other side on a regular basis or, you know, regularly throughout the year. So that's a real gift.
Yeah. You don't run into them that often at the grocery store. You know,
no.
That's how I looked at it. They're usually not standing in line behind you and talking to the dead. And we have one question actually that was posted before the show started. I mean, these people are very good at making sure their question gets in. And somebody who you get the funny little names in the chat room. This is Happy Human, who unfortunately I love that. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, that's really cute.
my happy human is unable to listen live. They're going to listen later and replay to see what was said. But they had a question that is, you know, they say, so I wrote my article about my heartbreak. Some of my friends read it. They found it deep, and some said they could relate to it. So I'm pretty excited about, you know, that response. I'd like to know if I could find a nice, good editor that I could trust, I guess, you know, to get the article about her heartbreak, her or him, I can't tell, to get it published. And, you know, would they be able to find a nice and good editor? What do you think?
There are writers' guilds that, I mean, there's like the California Writers Guild, but there's local chapters in every city. I don't know what person the happy listener is. I don't know where you are, but I would look for professional writing associations or guilds, and usually people that are serious writers and they kind of join together to share resources and inspire one another or critique one another, or writers groups where, you know, everybody's kind of like trying to get more information about writing and how to be published and things like that. I would find some kind of a really legitimate, authentic group and ask someone local who they have, because people are having their stuff edited all the time, but you want somebody who is going to really treat your work with a lot of respect and intelligently and insightfully, and to get feedback on any editor before you pay them the money, that's really good. And usually if you talk to people who've used other people, they can tell you if somebody's really good or not. So I would try to find out, you know, from your local writers community who they're using, who they really trust with editing. And then think about the topic that you have, and then think about who your audience that you're writing to, because your audience is going to define what kind of magazine, because you said article. I'm pretty sure I heard Mary say article.
Yeah.
So if it's an article, that's not going to be published by like a publishing house. You have magazines that like Cosmopolitan or Horoscopes. I mean, I don't know what your medium is in relation to talking about love, but look at your audience and figure out what kind of going to be the best fit for your article so that you can narrow down where you want to send it. But keep working on it, because sometimes you have to work on things and rework them and not be afraid of being rejected for whatever you've put out. Because if you keep putting things down on paper and really loving the work that you're doing, it's a process. My next work that's coming out in a couple months, I started it like 30 years ago. And I have I still have all my rejection letters. But at a certain point, you know, you keep moving forward with your words and the things that you love. And at a certain point, you know, it comes together, and you have to stay with it and love it and treat it like, you know, you're helping a little baby become a toddler, and you're helping the toddler become a child, and you're helping the child become a teenager, and you keep giving it your love and attention. And, you know, at a certain point, you'll meet, especially if you set the intention that you're looking for a really good editor and you start talking to people, you'll find one. And then they'll have insights for you and advice where to find more help that might help you get that article published fast.
Yeah. And I just to throw this out there, yeah, everybody who writes, everybody who, you know, is a writer and wants to, has that goal of getting published, we all have huge, you know, our loving little piles of rejection letters. And sometimes, you know, it's like a rite of passage to get rejected, you know.
It's your initiation.
Really,
you're being initiated as a writer.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you know, there's a lot of groups online, too, where, you know, like Francis Ford Coppola's kids started Zoetrope.com. And that's a great place where you can work, like, if you have short stories. Maybe this article about your own personal heartbreak might turn into a really wonderful short story that everybody can relate to and that would also give you, you know, freedom to expand. Another thing I throw out there is every year they publish the Writer's Market. And it gives you, like, it's a huge, gigantic book. I think you could get it in digital form now. It's a little expensive, but it's like every publication.
You can also get it at the library.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better because then it doesn't cost, you know. But it has, like, it gives you the requirements because there's deadlines to meet. There's requirements that every publication has, especially magazines, you know, if you're trying to get into print and who the point of contact is. And all of that. So, you know, you can get a lot of the editing stuff out of the way free by workshopping things with other writers. You know, like Cooch said, you might find, you know, a local group and you know, there could be not. I feel like there's going to be a lot of growth from this for the writer.
Well,
you know,
I think when you're writing about love and what's going on, it's kind of like a healing process. So there's like a healing that's coming through writing about your emotional reactions and, you know, the bizarreness of your situation. Because if it didn't have a lot of strong impact, there wouldn't be a reason to talk about it or write about it.
Yeah.
So that makes it interesting to a lot of people because we all love, you know, we love to hear this kind of stuff or read about this kind of stuff that you know, it's like kind of gut-wrenching. Oh, my God, that happened. So my sense is, you know, you just keep going with it until you figure out where you want to go with it. And at a certain point, you know, you'll be guided to its best direction and how it can serve not only you, but how it can serve the world at large.
Yeah.
Because usually when you start putting things out in the world, it's you know, the gods are starting at some level, the gods take over and start navigating. Okay, this is going to be best if it goes over there. It's kind of like playing on a Ouija board. You know, you're calling in and channeling, like, how can I best, do I go left, do I go right? Is this a yes, is this a no? You know, on the Ouija board, like, you're calling in spirits to try to help. But at some point, writing is a very intuitive process as well as a very creative process, especially when you're trying to figure out how to get it out in the world. And I know people who have written blogs and put stuff in blogs, and then eventually the blog, they just keep snapping all this stuff until it gets published out in the world on a different level. So, you know, there's lots of ways to get out there at this incredible technological age.
It's amazing. All these great connections and all of it, everything that's available now is just, you know, it makes a wonderful playground, you know, for people to create and to experiment and to expand.
And it's a wonderful distraction from all the crazy stuff that's going on in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes.
when we're looking out at the world and what's happening in politics and what's all the blood and gore on the news every night, it's really nice to have some kind of like practice where you feel that, you know, you can just kind of tune in to your creative process and enjoy the moment instead of like all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world that it just very, the more you focus on this intensity of politics and the crises and all of the things that are just so devastating, it's very exhausting and draining, and, you know, it makes us afraid to almost walk out our door. But when you're doing something that really recharges your battery and inspires you and makes your heart happy, then you become more willing to share your inner light with others and able to do more for the planet just from your own personal feeling that, like, life is good. It can be very good. And this work I'm doing on writing and getting my emotional message out there, it's good.
Yeah, it's so
true. So good luck
true.
With your writing. You know, kick butt. Get it out there.
Yes. Go for it.
Send us a copy.
Yeah, we want to read it now. Oh, well. Wow. This has been so much fun today. It's such interesting, you know, human questions
the real world. We're in the real world, Mary. It's reality.
Or is it? Is it the only reality?
Well,
do we know?
there's always different levels to reality. In and out of reality. Maya and Leela. Maya's illusion. Leela's the game of life that we're all playing.
Yeah.
Different ways of looking at reality, for sure.
Well, I always think, you know, I think it's all perception. Because I think, like, you know, I think of, like, riding the subway. And you have five people, you know, having the same experience, going to the same stops on the subway. But they're all, you know, having a different perception of what is happening in their life right there at that moment. You know, I find that fascinating.
Yeah, and everybody rides that subway and feels totally different about the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
yeah.
pretty wild.
I mean, we're all such individual creatures with different ways of experiencing life.
It's beautiful.
It's kind of amazing if you think about there's 7 billion of us on this planet, how many people are dying every day, and where do they go, and how many people are on that side.
Yeah. And then
you think, well,
there's
7
born.
Billion people on this planet now, how many are on the other side that, you know,
it's
have been
be
on
crowded.
This planet recently? It's
oh,
kind
yeah.
of mind-boggling.
It's got to be crowded.
It's got to be really crowded, and where are they all going, and where, you know, from there, where they are, where are they going? You know, I mean, it's like, who can I, this the soul consciousness and the ultimate reality of evolving to higher states of consciousness, where does it take us all? Where, I mean, like, what's the ultimate journey? It's kind of amazing.
I don't know.
Because we don't know.
No, we don't know.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know. Do you want to know? I don't know if I want to know. Like, do we need to know? I don't know.
Well, are we capable of knowing? Because, you know, sometimes when
yeah.
we know things that kind of are too over our heads because we're not prepared to know that can scare the crap out of us.
Oh,
that's
totally.
Why it's not good for people who don't do intuitive work to just, like, jump into, like, being an intuitive. It's like you got to work up to it gradually, because if you go from just being a logical kind of business-minded person, you think being intuitive is like a crock. But then, you know, if you, like, fall off a ladder, you hit your head, and all of a sudden you're intuitive, then you have to, like, go through this incredible transformative process because, oh, my God, there is an intuitive mind, and now I can see different levels. But it's like crazy-making because it's so shocking. So, yeah, I think the world is amazing. We're all amazing creatures in an amazing world.
Absolutely. We are.
And then there's the animal kingdom. I mean, think about how many animals there are in the animal kingdom or how many fish there are in the sea. And they all have different kinds of consciousnesses or their consciousness. Everything has some kind of a conscious mind or understanding of, you know, I mean, it's like it's just unfathomable, ununderstandable,
yeah,
whatever the word is. It's like, how can there be so many different forms of conscious awareness?
Well, I think, you know, it's amazing, you know, because it's like, in a sense, you know, we're talking about the animals that we know of. What about all the animals that were extinct? I mean, we can't even imagine, you know, dinosaurs ruling the earth. You know, that's such a cliche phrase, but what did that really look like? You know, were they communicating?
I'd be afraid
were
to look at that one.
I know, right?
I could see myself
in
the mouth of something being chewed apart, like, you know, not running fast enough.
Exactly. I mean, it certainly, you know, would have shifted the balance of power on the planet, that's for sure, you know. But, you know, the thing is, to me, it's like somehow, despite our all the crazy things that happen in the news and all of the different souls here and gone yonder and coming in, somehow it feels like there is a beautiful divine balance to nature, to our world, to the cosmos, and that somehow things are always kind of how they're supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Well, I hear your optimism and your love for the world. I probably am maybe more cynical minded, but that's okay.
It's like, yeah, right, Mary. You see what's happening out here?
You know, it just depends because, I mean, for me, if I listen to, you know, like everything is God, you know, and everything is what it's supposed to be, and, you know, angels are taking care of us, you know, it all sounds so delicious and so wonderful. But then if a friend calls me and, you know, they've been robbed at mug point in San Francisco and beaten half to death, then I'm just like, what? You know, is that just karma playing out? I mean, it's just, you know, it's hard sometimes to sense that balance that's so important, but, you know, my truth is I don't know the answer. Sometimes it just feels like the world's out of control, but I love what you said and I want to stick to it.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm a big fan of history, you know, of reading about history, like world history, you know, all of that. And what's interesting to me is that as bad as we may feel things are, you know, sometimes, or that we're pretty convinced that they are at different times. I kind of feel like, you know, a lot of people say like, well, you know, I wish we could go back to the good old days. And I have to say, you know, from reading so much about the, you know, history of civilization and of mankind, I don't think there ever was like really the good old days, you know. I think that there was always like this kind of, you know, there's always pain, there's always, you know, suffering, there's always injustice. And at the same time, there's always, you know, change, and there's always, you know, progress. And that's how I look at it, as being in balance. It's not that, you know, horrific, awful things don't happen. They seem to have been happening forever. But at the same time, there's a lot of, you know, positive things that happen too. So I kind of see it in that way. But yeah, it's hard to, there's things that are just hard to imagine, you know, happening. And especially when things happen that strike close to home, it feels like the whole world's gone crazy sometimes.
Well, thank heavens for people like you who make things feel a little more balanced and a little better. And I know it's time to close our show, and I just want to put in a plug for you that people can get a hold of Mary Brown, I know, through Facebook, and I'm sure she has different ways of connecting, but she's got her own show. And my name is Cooch, and Cooch Daniels. You can connect with me on Facebook, and I'd love to hear from you. If you have any feedback for the show or things that you'd like to see on my show, please let me know, because I'd love to be more in tune with what your needs are. But it is called Psychic Talk, and that's the focus. We both do readings. We're both available for readings. And I have several books that are out. I have a group on Facebook called Mystic Secrets, and it lists all my different books that I've written. Or my website is www.cybermystic.com. That has lots of information about my books and my readings and how to get a hold of me. Mary, do you have a website, honey?
Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me is to go to psychictalk.net/Mary.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to bring the show to a close because I've got a tarot class that I need to go teach. So I'm going to be getting out the door, and I just want to thank you so much, Mary, for producing the show and actually hosting a lot of it, because I couldn't even get my computer to work initially. So I just want to give a big round of applause and a big heartfelt hug and send it your way, and look forward to the next time that we have a chance to talk. And thank you, everybody. Bye for now from Cooch. Bye, Mary. I'm going to sign off, hon.
Okay, bye, Cooch. Thank you so much for having me on. This is a blast. I love talking with you.
Oh, it's so much fun to connect with you. again, another time. If the world is as good as you say it is, we'll do this again. Okay,
yes,
take care.
Bye-bye. Yes, bye-bye, everybody.